Yeah. So anyway, we are thankful to everybody who took part in that, and with the meal and everything, it went extremely well, and we are grateful for that. I want to mention and not forget, Tuesday night is our Bible study, Heroes of the Bible. We are covering Abraham. It's in Marilyn's room. Is that correct? Okay, the last one on the left, down the hall down there. It's every Tuesday night starting at 6:30, every other Tuesday night starting at 6:30. And if you can be there for that, you need to be there because it's really a good study. It's really a good study. And I also want to invite you to back tonight. Tonight, we're covering the Sermon on the Mount. And I would encourage all of you to come back, even if you go to a Connect group or whatever. If you can come back and be a part of that. We've got a large number of people that are coming back on Sunday nights as well as on Wednesday nights. But one of the things is that tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus fulfilling the law. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to challenge your thinking on that topic, okay? So I would encourage you to come back and be challenged. Be challenged. Yeah, because if you're challenged, you're going to grow. You're going to grow in knowledge and wisdom. You know, it's one of the things that we talked about when I was a principal and when I was a teacher, that we have to challenge the students for them to grow. You can't just say, okay, everybody tell me what 1 + 1 is, okay? But you got to challenge them on that. You got to challenge them. Well, tell me why. So you will know why. So come back and be with us tonight if at all possible. I also want to mention this. We've got some visitors here today. Young man right over here, young man right over here that came and spoke to me this week. They actually showed up on the same day and spoke to me this week about coming to church and being here. And I am so glad that y'all are with us today. Amen. Don't let these people get out of this building without you saying hello to them and introducing yourself. Because I'm excited that y'all are with us. I truly, truly am. And thank you. Thank you so much for coming. I also want to mention this, that my brother-in-law is back with us today. Yeah, that's a big amen. He survived living with Kathy and me. And I'm not sure how he pulled that off, but he did. And so he survived living with Kathy and me for a little while. He had knee surgery, knee replacement, and you're doing really well. I'm really pleased about how well you're doing. He drove to church this morning, to worship this morning. Yeah, I get it right, Bob. Drove to worship this morning. And so we are thankful that he is back with us today. And he just told me this morning, he said, I just couldn't miss another Sunday. And that's kind of how I feel a lot of times. I just can't miss another Sunday. I can't miss. I have to be here. And I want to thank all of you, and y'all have heard me say this before, but I want to reemphasize it. I want to thank you all for the love that you have shown Kathy and I since we have been here. This has been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful congregation. And I'm so pleased with your emphasis on wanting to learn more, that you want to study more, that you want to serve the community more. And I am so pleased to see that among our people here. Thank you so much for the love that you have for Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of that. Now, the lesson that I have today is actually the third lesson of a series. Now, Manny asked me this week, he said, is this a series? And I said, well, it didn't start out that way, but I have made it into a series. There are four lessons in this series. The first lesson was, remember, paradise and Hades, or paradise and torment. That's where the people are today, awaiting judgment. If they have gone on before us, That's where they are today. They are either in Abraham's bosom or they are in a place of torment. So don't forget that. That's where they are right now. That's where they are right now. And then last Sunday, we had a really good lesson that I thought about Jesus' return. And I felt like that was a really good one, not because I was up here preaching it, but just the fact of this is the events that are going to happen. And this is how it's all going to be laid out about Jesus' return. And how we look forward as Christians to that trumpet sounding. Don't we look forward to that? And I told you there's going to be two reactions when that trumpet sounds. The first reaction is going to be we as Christians are going to look up and we're going to praise God for that trumpet. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for coming back and getting us. But there's also going to be another reaction where they will run and they will run into the caves and they will hide and they will pray for the rocks to cover them so that they will not have to face the wrath of God. And if you remember right, the whole lesson last week dealt with one primary thing. And that one primary thing is this. We must be ready. Because no one knows when that's going to happen except God Himself. So therefore, we must be ready. And if we are ready when that trumpet sounds, we're going to run to it with our hands up and say, Lord, here I am, take me. But if we're not ready, we're going to run away and seek to be hidden by the rocks. So we must be ready. In multiple parables that Jesus speaks of, He talks about being ready. Because we don't know when that day is going to come. We don't know when that time's going to be. And I gave you the example last week about how I watched, it happened right in front of me, a car accident in which a lady was killed in that car accident. Happened right in front of me. And I told you I was to the car within 30 seconds of the collision. And she was already gone. My question was she ready? And I don't know. I did not know that person. And I can't tell you if she was ready or not. But that's the bottom line. Was she ready? We don't know that if we leave this building today, whether or not we will see tomorrow. But this is what I do know. That if I'm ready, I will see the Son, S-O-N, in all of His glory. And I look forward to that day. If you're not ready, you need to get ready. And you need to be ready before you leave this building today. Because what I have to talk to you about today is the judgment day. And on that day, realize this, you're not going to have a second opportunity for salvation. Because you've already used it while we were here on this earth. You've made the choice here. And I've heard people say this oftentimes, say, oh, God is such a loving God. God is such a forgiving God. He will never send anybody to hell. And you're right. God doesn't send you to hell. You send you to hell. It's your choice. You can choose to be with God or you can choose to be with Satan. Guess what? That is your choice. And that has always been our choice since the beginning of time. Remember, there were two trees in the garden. There was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there was the tree of life. And if they ate of the tree of life, they would live forever. But we know the story. We know the story. And because of that story, and I want you to realize this, because of that story in the garden comes Jesus Christ. And it's because of him that we have salvation. Without God loving us so much that he sent his son to pay our debt for sin, we would not have salvation. But because he loved us and he wanted us to be with him, we have it. Now, one of the things I'm going to bring up in this lesson that I have today is this, that our works can't save us. We are not saved by our works, because if we do one thing wrong, we are condemned by that one thing. It is only through the grace of God, it is only through Jesus Christ that we have salvation. And understand how we get that grace is by faith. Only through faith can we receive that grace. Remember, I told you the story before. Some of you heard it, some of you didn't. But I told you the story before about how grace is like a big winter coat that somebody gives you in the middle of winter. And it's cold outside. If you take that coat and you lay it on your bed and you say, man, that's a nice looking coat. But you leave it there and you go outside, what good is it? Remember what we have to do? We have to pick up that coat. We have to put it on. We have to wear it. Because if we don't put it on and we don't wear it, we receive no benefit from it. It's the same thing with grace. Grace is a free gift that is given to all who will believe. To all who will believe and be baptized. That is a free gift that is given by God to all of us. And therefore, we must put it on. Pick it up. Put it on. Take the warmth that is within it. And I want to give you this little example. And I've always thought of it in this way. And whether or not it's actual, I don't think so. But I've always kind of thought of it in this way. That when we go before God in judgment, that God is in the judgment seat. We are standing before God in that judgment. And if we have Jesus Christ, he is our defense attorney. Ever look at it from that standpoint? Which means this, that when God sees us, if we have Jesus Christ, if we put on Jesus Christ in baptism, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we stand behind Jesus Christ, all God can see is the purity of Jesus Christ, and therefore he will remember our sins no more. There will be no spot, there will be no blemish, there will be nothing that will take us away from the love of God. Nothing. But on the same regard, if we choose to defend ourselves and not have Jesus Christ, then all God can see is every spot, every blemish, every sin that you've ever committed. And therefore, you will not be in the book of life, but rather you will be judged by your actions. Now let's take a look at this. Okay? To start off with, I want to... helps to turn it on. To start off with this, I want to talk about a couple of terminologies that we need to know as we go into this study. The first terminology is this, that in the Scripture, whatever version you look at, whatever version you search out, I want you to realize that Judgment Day and the Day of the Lord are used interchangeably. It is the same day. It is the same time. It is the same event. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says this, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night." He is talking about judgment day, but he's also talking about the day of the Lord. It is exactly the same. There is no difference. So as you read the scripture, regardless of what translation you look at, if it's talking about the day of the Lord or if it's talking about the judgment day, I want you to realize it is the same day. It is the same thing that they are talking about. And I'm going to show you this in just a minute. Also, one of the things that I want you to look at, one of the verses that we were going to be pulling up and looking at today is in Revelation chapter 20. And in that Revelation chapter 20, it talks about those people who are in death. Those people who are in death. Now realize exactly what he's talking about there. There are three types of death that are spoken of in the Bible. There is physical death, where this body gets old and dies. And I'm thankful to God that I will not go to heaven in this body. Because I used to tell people that I've got the body of an 18-year-old and everybody says, "Well, you better give it back because you're getting it out of shape." Yeah, I don't want to hurt like this when I get to heaven, okay? I don't want to feel like this when I get to heaven. I want to feel better than this. I want to have no more pain or suffering, and that's exactly what it's going to be when we get to heaven. But I want you to realize that those people who are in death that is spoken of here are those people who have denied Christ, who are in sin, who are not Christians when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. That's the people who are in death. And that's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. People who are in death are those who are the ones who are going to hide, the ones who are going to ask for the rocks to fall on them and cover them so that they will not face the judgment of God. Because they have denied God. They have denied Christ. And they realize their time is up. So realize when it talks about those who are in death, that's what it's talking about. Now remember, Hades is something we talked about 2 weeks ago. That's a place of torment. That's the place of torment. That's where those who have denied Christ, who have died before us, they are in torment. So it says both those who are in death and in Hades will be brought up before judgment. Those who are in death are those who are non-Christians today who are still walking the face of this earth. Those who are in Hades are those who are non-Christians who have gone on before. And if you read the King James Version, now I want you to understand this, the King James Version does not distinguish between Hades and hell. So if you got the King James Version out, it will say hell instead of Hades. But it's not hell. It's Hades. Okay? So that's a little blip within the King James Version that you could see. All right? Now, those are the terminology that I want you to look at. But here's what we want to look at today. The events of Judgment Day. Now, remember, the trumpet has already sounded. Jesus has sent out his angels to gather together his elect. All of us then are going before the throne of God. And this is what's going to happen on Judgment Day or the day of the Lord. Now, all people, great and small, will be there. Anyone who ever walked the face of this earth will be there. Both the famous and the infamous will be there before God. No one will not be there. So if you are an amateur historian, as I am an amateur historian, you would know that all those people in history, our forefathers of this nation, will stand before God in judgment. And realize this, that God is no respecter of persons. So it doesn't matter here on this earth if you're rich. It doesn't matter here on this earth if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're powerful. Or it doesn't matter if you were a slave here on this earth. What matters is whether or not you followed God. That's what matters. The rest of it does not. So all people, it says right there in verse 12 of Revelation 20, all people, great and small, will stand before God in judgment. Second, God will sit on His throne. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it. Now, not only will God sit on His throne, but notice this as well. Christ will sit on His throne. Matthew 25, 31. He will sit on His glorious throne. And then the next thing I'm going to put up here for you to look at is this. This is the day of the Lord, folks. Because all people, great and small, will glorify God and Christ. All people, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. That's why this day is called the Day of the Lord. Because for the first time in history, first time since the creation of this world, that every tongue will confess that God is the Father and Jesus is the Son. And glory will be given to both. Every tongue will confess. Even those who deny today will not deny then. They will confess His name. There was an individual, we did a little door-to-door knocking, and we were passing out little pamphlets and stuff down in Mount Ida, and we tried to hit all the Mount Ida people, and we went all over the city. And there was an individual there that one of our members knocked on his door, and he answered the door, and we told him who we were and who we were out campaigning for to bring people into the congregation to invite you to come to worship service. We were asking them to come, and this man looked at us and he said, "I am 100% atheist." A couple of years ago, we heard that man passed away. You think he's atheist now? No. No. He is just like the rich man that's in torment, and he's looking up and he's saying, "Send someone back so that my wife and my children won't end up in this same place." That's what he's doing right now. He knows his mistakes. He knows what he's done. Every knee will bow. There's a song out saying, "I can only imagine. You know, when I see God, I can only imagine what I'll do. Will I shout hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?" Well, you don't have to imagine. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. We're going to be just like Peter in the boat after the great catch of fish. when he dropped down to his knees and he saw the glory of Jesus Christ and he said, "Depart from me, for I am unworthy." Do you realize when we see God and His glory and when we see Jesus Christ and His glory, we will do the same exact thing. We will stand up and we will say, "Depart from me," and we will drop to our knees. "For I am unworthy to be in your presence." When we see all that glory of God and Jesus standing before us, what a great day that will be. That's why it's called the day of the Lord. Now, notice this, that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, it tells us that the books were opened. And notice it's books with an S. Because remember, if you don't have Jesus Christ, then every sin that you've ever committed is written in those books. But then it goes on to say, in that same verse, it goes on to say, but there's also another book called the Book of Life. And if your name is written in the Book of Life, then guess what? God remembers your sins no more. He sees no spot. He sees no blemish. And all we have is our name written in that Book of Life. And God looks at you and says, "Well done." I want to hear those words. I pray for those words. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But notice, books with an S. Because if you're not with Jesus Christ, if you're not with God, then every sin you ever committed is written in that book. Books. Then after that, we will all be judged according to what is written in that book. Those books. And if your name is in the Book of Life, then you're an automatic. You're going to heaven. But if your name is not, then you're going to be judged by that. And realize this here, we're going to be judged according to our deeds, and other versions say it better, according to our works. What kind of works are we going to be judged by? Our works of faith. Because remember in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it tells us that it is impossible for us to please God without faith. We have to put on that coat. It is our faith. And the first work of faith is believing. And believing goes right along with baptism. Because in Mark 16, 15 and 16 it says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Realize that. We are judged according to our works of faith. Now, Jesus will then separate us. Matthew 25, verse 32 through 33. He will separate us just as the goats are separated from the sheep. We will be separated. We will be separated from those that are going into eternal torment versus those who are going into eternal joy. We will be separated. And then, as we are being separated, we will learn, and this is the importance, one of the major importance of Judgment Day, is that we will actually learn why we're going to heaven. There's not going to be any question. Jesus will say, "Because you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." We will know why we're going to heaven. But not only will we know why we're going to heaven, God being the righteous judge that He is, those who are not going to heaven will also know why they're not going to heaven. Because you did not do it to the least of these, my brethren. Now notice this as well, because this part is very interesting to me. On that day, those who are lost will have the opportunity to plead their case. I've always found this interesting. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, that many will come to me on that day and will say, Lord, did I not do many wonderful works in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not do all these wonderful things for you? They will plead their case to Jesus. But notice Jesus' response. These are the worst words you could ever hear. If Jesus looks at you and says to you, I never knew you, how devastating would that be? Folks, there's a lot of people out there in the world today that profess to be ministers, that profess to be Christians, that are not. And the reason why they are not is because they never came to the point of salvation through faith, through baptism. They never got there. And a lot of the times the reason why they never got there is simply because they may have listened to a false prophet. Folks, I never want to be called a false prophet. I never want to be considered to be a false prophet at any point or time. And that's why I put the verses up here so you can see them. There they are. So if you ever ask me, where in the Bible did that come from? Well, that came from Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. There it is. I want to hear, well done. I don't want to hear, I never knew you. And yes, I fall short. I fall short. There's not anyone in this room that doesn't fall short. But you know what? I've got the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all sin. And I've got Jesus Christ as my defense attorney, where God can only see the purity of Him in me. And He remembers my sins no more. Folks, that's the joy. That's the hope. That's the salvation. Those people who Jesus dismisses will then be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And this is called, as it says right here in Revelation, it is called the second death. And the reason why it's called the second death is because you are separated from the light. You are separated from Jesus Christ. You are separated from God and His glory. And there is no more connection, no more hope. All is lost. The second death. You cannot come out of the second death. You cannot be prayed out. you are there for all eternity. And then, one of the greatest things, those who are saved are welcomed home. Welcome home. I want to hear those words. Come, you who are blessed of my Father. Welcome home. Welcome home. There are many of us who love to be hugged here. Think about what it's going to be like when Jesus hugs you. Welcome home. Folks, it all comes down to this. Where are you today? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Or are you saying right now, oh, he's not coming back anytime soon. I've got lots of time. Folks, guess what? You might have, but you might not. No one knows. So my response to you today, if you are not ready, if you have not yet believed and been baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, washing away all of your sins, you need to do it today while together we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet call.